Hi, this is Anna Waltz. I'm staying in Issaquah during the pandemic, and this week I've been feeling very unmotivated and walking my dog instead of going to class. I'm recording on Wednesday, April 15th, and you're listening to The Wrap-Up. Thanks to Anna for that intro. Hey guys, it's your host, Claudia Yaw. Congrats on making it to week 3 of online classes. Today, while on my daily state-sanctioned walk, as the youths are calling it, I was in Greek Row and I walked past one of the Daily's purple newspaper stands. It was empty and graffitied, kind of banged up. I thought, wow, the Daily suspended print papers only a few weeks ago. That was fast. This newspaper stand seemed like such a powerful image of what's going on right now. But then I remembered, oh wait, that old beat-up newspaper stand has been there forever. Some drunk frat bro must have stolen it from campus and left it in the grass medium where the Greeks leave old couches and White Claw cans. I've been walking past it for 3 years. I'm just going to leave that anecdote there, and you can decide if there's something deep or metaphorical in it. Let's get into the news. In the past week, the Daily has covered some major announcements about the school year. Summer quarter term A will officially be held remotely, as will spring quarter's commencement ceremony. The UW announced that an online commencement will be held instead, and that graduating seniors are free to join in on the class of 2021 ceremony next June. The trend of online student petitions continues, with thousands of students urging administration to postpone rather than cancel the in-person ceremony. Many seniors who signed on to the petition say the ceremony represents the many challenges they've had to overcome to earn their degree. First-generation students like Arabella Nadoy say walking the stage is a huge deal for them and for their families. Nadoy said the cancellation feels like she's letting her family down. In an interview with The Daily, President Annamari Kause said administration may be open to changing the plan, although a decision won't be made until later in the summer. The pandemic has spurred intense anxiety in just about everyone, and many are calling the Great Pause a collective trauma. But while some feel unified by a common threat, not everyone is being impacted equally. Reporter Beth Cassidy talked to UW social epidemiology professor Anjum Hajat and epidemiology professor Stephen Haas on why African Americans account for 7.5% of confirmed cases in King County, despite only making up about 6.4% of the population. The disproportionality is consistent with what is happening across the country and highlights structural racism in the healthcare system, employment, and the environment. Here's Beth.
So the main issue here is we all get to stay home. And by we all, I mean the affluent, the more privileged people get to stay home. The service workers that are delivering our mail, working as cashiers at the grocery stores, Amazon workers, predominantly African-American people, they are more exposed and they don't have the privilege of staying home. And then when they get sick, they don't have proper access because, you know, these jobs don't have health care.
Experts say there are other factors, too, like high rates of poverty, unemployment, and chronic disease, a pattern partly due to structural issues like environmental racism. The U.S. Surgeon General made a similar point earlier this week, pointing out that Black children are more likely to suffer from asthma and other underlying conditions.
The pandemic is just kind of shining a light into all the cracks in this system and different inequalities.
Yeah, it's truly highlighting in a way that, you know, it has already been highlighted. We have plenty of time and we've had plenty of data devoted to this issue in front of us. And it is really sad to think that, oh, it takes a pandemic, like a global issue that is all on our minds, for us to finally realize that this is a huge issue and this is a disparity that is not equal. It's not American to me at all. Dr. Hajjat did touch on that. She said, "This is terrible, but it gives me solace because we are finally getting immense amounts of data really just highlighting this issue."
More research may be conducted on the virus and its societal impact thanks to UW Population Health Initiative's new Rapid Response Grant Program. Awards of up to $20,000 will be doled out to different interdisciplinary projects, ranging from research on the virus to the pandemic's social and economic impacts. Recipients are expected to execute their projects within 4 months. Seattle hopes to flatten the curve even faster. UW Medicine announced this week that all patients admitted to Harborview will be tested for COVID-19. Prior to the announcement, only those with symptoms were receiving tests, allowing the virus to spread through individuals who had mild or no symptoms. In other news, an initiative called Pledge 1200, launched by UW grads, is urging Americans to pledge their $1,200 stimulus checks to support local small businesses. Many students won't be getting those payments from the government. If your parents claimed you as a dependent on their taxes, for example, you're getting skunked. But for those who are receiving the money, Pledge1200.org has ideas to help your local businesses, like helping them advertise on social media, tipping more, and buying gift cards for businesses who have had to close. The site also has some stories from local businesses about how the pandemic has affected them and how you can help. Let's get away from coronavirus for a second. The ongoing saga of the Seattle National Archives has largely been overshadowed by COVID-19 coverage. In case you missed it, earlier this year, the federal government decided to close the Regional National Archives in Seattle's Sandpoint neighborhood. The warehouse is sitting on a valuable tract of land that could be lucrative in a rapidly developing area. After threatening to sue the federal government, it looks like Washington may have reached a compromise to keep all the archives in the state, as opposed to splitting them up in facilities across the country. The Daily identified some rad history locked up in the warehouse, like in 1968, when Mexican Americans in Yakima Valley sued the county over literacy tests designed to suppress voting rights. The ACLU was joined by students from the UW to file the lawsuit. Ultimately, they lost, but the case was an important step to eliminate literacy tests in the U.S. Among the archive's most popular documents are census records, where the public can find out more about their family history. You should read the full story on our website.
Hey, wrap-up listeners. My name is Wilson, like the volleyball. I make emo electronic music. I'm currently quarantining at the house I rent with some friends in West U District. As I'm sure many of us feel, it's a bit cramped after a few days of not going anywhere, but I'm grateful I can clamber onto the roof of my house and get some sunshine and perspective. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all, music has been tough the last few days. So many people are all over social media like, "Use this time, producers, make some heat." But this is completely counterproductive for anyone whose mental health has been shaken by the pandemic. To be honest, a lot of us are simply trying to remain positive in the wake of extreme boredom and the nagging lull of anxiety that surrounds the whole planet at the current moment. For me, music has still been the centerpiece for my life at this time, but it's been much more about deep listening. I have found myself really diving into music I love and really bathing in it, allowing myself to be fully immersed in art that has given me so much peace and connection. We are not productive machines. We are humans, and humans crave beauty. Know that if your art isn't coming out of you right now, that's totally fine. Allow yourself to simply be, and we will come out the other side of this with an experience rich with artistic vision and material. This too shall pass.